I'd like to call to order the Administrative Finance Committee meeting of March 11, 2014. I'm Councilman John Cartier, chairing the meeting. My legislative aide Brian Holleiter is taking the notes. I'd like to recognize three members of council have joined us at the table for this meeting. Councilman Reda is here, Councilmember Diller, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Holland, Councilman Street, Councilman Sheldon, Councilmember Patrick. We're going to move through the agenda. Approval of the minutes from previous Administrative Finance Committee.
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? The minutes are approved. Working on the next item on the agenda, the consent calendar. We have nothing on the consent calendar. Moving on to the next item, other resolutions. Resolution 14-068, authorizing the execution of one purchase order contract for the Department of Community Services for an increase to the pass-through grant in the amount of $27,451, making the new total $152,451. And I know we have folks from Community Services. Maybe we can provide a little detail on this pass-through grant.
Diana Brown, Department of Community Services. This is a grant for the Family Health Homeless Shelter in Middleton. Adding to an existing home project, which was funded through an ordinance that was passed by council in December of 2014.
Okay. So just to clarify, this is HUD home funds and a line item increase for the pass-through grant. Okay. Any questions from members of council? Councilman Holland.
Just could you explain how did the increase come about and the relationship between purchasing system transaction summary? I see that listed in all of the three ordinances related to grants. So I'm assuming there's some relationship. There's a new designation for funds. Maybe Ed can explain that more. But you can explain the part about the, and maybe you can explain the whole thing. How did we come about this additional $27,451?
Diana Brown, Community Services. Carrie Casey is very well put to answer this question, but I feel like I should try.
Okay.
Since I'm learning and I do want to know of which I speak, so that when I come to give my budget presentation and questions are asked of me, I can answer them intelligently. Carrie did a very nice kind of background of this. And the reason for the increase is that this project experienced a series of setbacks. One of the crucial ones was that unfortunately the architect passed away before the project plans were completed. So the Family Health had to engage a new architect to draw new plans, and I think that's part of the reason for the increase. I can't answer your second question about the...
So this is an expansion of that facility, a renovation of that facility?
Karen Casey with the Division of Community Development and Housing. Yes, originally, the Family Health Transitional Homeless Shelter consists of four one-bedroom units, and because of the needs as identified for homeless families south of the canal, you know, the idea was to make them two-bedroom units, so it's an expansion program, and also to make one of the four units completely accessible, and to one of the others with the architect passing away, and the town of Middletown reviewing the plans, there also was the need to put a fire compression system, sprinkler system, which also added to the cost. And the home funds were made available. We came back, as Diana said, in December because we had to budget, submit our annual plan in May before we actually knew what our funds were because of congressional debate over sequestration. We ended up having about $36,000 in additional home monies for this year, and that was approved back, as Diana said. So this increase is for the existing home funds that we have to help meet the costs associated with this specific project.
Thank you. The second part, it had to do with purchasing system transaction summary?
Yeah, that's the actual, I don't know if you have a copy of it, but it's the actual purchase order.
Oh, okay.
It's the actual copy of the purchase order and the sheet.
And it covers all three of these?
Right, well, it's the same, but a purchase order.
They're all the same order?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But it's not the same order that they're all on, it's just the documentation, actual purchase order, so each one of these, each one has a purchase order attached.
Okay, Councilman Smiley has a copy. All right, thank you.
Any other questions on Resolution 14-068 for members of council? Anything from the public? Okay, moving along. Resolution 14-069, authorizing execution of one purchase order contract to Oracle America Incorporated for systems analyst training for the Office of Technology in the amount of $8,400. And Oracle America is one of the suppliers of software systems for the county, and there are ongoing maintenance and training issues with this system. Is there anybody from purchasing or finance that would like to talk about this? Yes, sir.
Hi, Tom Peralta, Systems Manager. As you stated, this is to send one of our employees to two separate training courses related to PeopleSoft. This young lady is coming up to speed, getting ready to pick up, where the previous employee is about to retire. So we're trying to bring this young lady up to speed. She's already taken some different courses. This one for PeopleSoft, PeopleTools, and Workflow will help make her skill set more current. Yes, sir.
Councilman Smiley.
If you're done. Okay.
Councilman Smiley.
Okay, I just want to clarify on the record. Okay, someone listens to the record and looks at this. He said we're sending her. Oh, we're not sending her too far, because according to this, they're online classes for 5 days. So let's just send her to another office.
We're sending her to the training.
Okay, that works. Somebody's going to say, wow, they're spending this kind of money to send her somewhere and it's online, so.
Okay, any other questions, concerns for members of council on Resolution 14-069? Anything from the public? All right, moving along. Resolution 14-070, authorizing execution of one purchase order contract for Department of Administration for professional grant writing and consulting services in the amount of $25,000. All right. Grant writing is, more grant writing we can do, the better overall, but I'd just like to have some further detail. Is there anybody? Yes.
Okay. Okay, Tony Garden, Chief Administrative Services. What we're looking to do, documents that I've worked for in the past, we've got grant writing, we just got a grant of $500,000, half a billion, to the Public Safety Department, and we're looking to do more work, there's opportunities in community service, there's opportunities in IS, as well as public safety. So we're looking to bring it, add on another $25,000 for additional work in regards to writing grants. We've done a good job so far, so we're looking to extend that for another
$25,000. In the resolution itself, I just had a question.
Okay.
It describes National Institute for Integrated Family Service Incorporated.
That's their company.
That's the company that's
yes.
The contractor?
The contractor's name, the owner company. Dr. Nix is the person who works with that name of the company.
And they will do the
grant
writing. Yes.
Okay.
Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, I just want to ask, because it seems like we're getting more and more into contracting out for grant writing services in various departments and such. I'd like to see, at least quarterly, if council could receive an itemization of the business, in other words, we contracted for $25,000. Here's what we spent. Here's what we received. Here,
okay.
Throughout, I just think it would help us get a have a grasp on what it is, which we could take back to the public to show we're not just spending your tax dollars willy nilly. Here's what we're doing, and here's the dollars that we're gaining before.
Okay. Great.
I saw the deputy CAO would raise his hand. Did you want to?
I'm fine, sir. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Any other further, Councilman Hollins?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I missed part of what you said, Tony. I'm sorry. I was walking out of the room. But did you say that this particular grant writer had already contributed to public safety or
Yes, we just received a grant for $1,000 for public safety just about a month or two ago. About a month or two ago, we received a grant for $1,000 for some work that she's done. So we're looking to add more opportunities for giving more opportunities. That's why we're looking to add 25,000 additional funds to bring in for more work in community services, as well as IS, public safety.
Has that $500,000 been allocated to public safety?
Not been allocated yet, but I know we've received it.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
It's not going directly to public safety, sir. It's going to programs. Chief Elmer said in Newcastle County Police. It's actually going to the programs over the past, suicide prevention, education about suicide bullying. It's a lot of money, but it's going towards it. It's going towards the past, including more than 2,000.
So is it directly to Cal, or is it allocation required to come to council, or does the money go to us?
All grant money.
So it will come to council before the money is allocated.
Yes, sir.
I believe that's correct.
Councilman Street.
I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I interrupted.
Did you have any further comments?
No, just basically that I agree with Councilman Smiley. I think it would be helpful because we do have an awful lot of grants to get some analysis of what the benefit is for all these grants that we have.
Councilman Street.
Ms. Lill.
That's right.
I'm a little bit concerned because Chief just said, we're doing whatever we're doing with this grant money over the Powell Center. I request sitting on my desk for some funding for the Powell Center. And evidently these things are in place. The Powell Center is actually being in my district. I'm getting a piece of it. Something wrong with the project. Second, we got $500,000, great. But again, what's the role of council in the application process, what's the communication, and approving after the fact is not what I think is customary. And finally, Chief, I have prior to giving all kinds of accolades to the folks who we had in-house operationally who are writing grants. And so my question is, if we're going to be now contracting, what happens to the position that is functioning in that capacity? In my opinion, we're going to have outstanding job prior to.
Okay, go ahead.
I can try and answer some of that, Councilman. I'm not an expert on grants or grant
writing. Identify yourself for the record.
Yeah, Chief Elmer said.
And then we've got the deputy CEO who want to make a comment.
The grant writer that we have in place in public safety is, you are correct, she is very successful at writing grants for public safety. We continue to see money come in, but every year we're seeing a little bit less. It keeps going down. The NYX is having experience at the grant writing that we necessarily haven't tapped into these veins before. As far as the Powell Center, they're actually, fairly successful in doing. Our grant writer has made several attempts at grants outside of her realm, and we've been turned down. And she does a great job of getting us the federal money that we use for our overtime for our tax job. She does a great job of, she helped write the Smart Policing Grant and got us 5 additional officers and that funding, and she continues to write all the reports that are required by the federal government for us to continue to receive that money. Basically, they don't just give you money, they want a report card back on what you did with it, where it's at, how much, and that every once in a while, about 18 months to 2 years, they send an auditor. We have to answer all the auditor's questions to ensure we're in compliance with all federal dollars. She still does it. We'd like to know if that answers the question, sir.
On the one hand, if it's a $50,000 contract, $500,000 contract, some folks are just standing 10% is a little low. On the other hand, does it become more cost effective to create another position, $85,000 to $100,000, and have people have the same person write the grant. And I'm not so sure y'all that cost effective that out. And I'd like to see them do that. Y'all being administration, nobody individual.
Deputy CAO, it was competent a bit to make a comment. Please, sir.
Appreciate your concern. What we're trying to do is take the information that we've learned in public safety and expand it throughout all the county divisions. This grant ready won't be specific to public safety, but all county departments. We're looking for community service grants. We're looking for grants for farmland preservation. We're looking for grants for sewer analysis. So it's going to go much beyond the scope of just public safety. We're looking to save county dollars in investment and leverage federal dollars.
So satisfaction, Councilman Street?
No, but he said all that to say what he wanted to say right now. I guess maybe I should have some further discussion.
I'm going to next recognize Councilman Redder. Before I do that, I want to also recognize that Council President Bullock has joined us and Councilman Packett. Councilman Redder?
Thank you. My question is, I know Lori does a good job down there. And with this outside grant writing, couldn't she go to some type of schooling to learn how to do what they're doing so she can get the monies that we're looking for to get?
Chief Elmer Setting, County Police, we send Lori to schools on a regular basis because there's always room to improve grant writing. We as a state leave millions and millions and millions of dollars on the table every year, but as I was trying to explain, I don't think they do a great job. We explained with Councilman Street. Lori Kane works just keeping up with the grants that we get right now. She gets us literally hundreds of thousands of dollars every year. So you can't just write a grant, receive the money, and you're finished. As I said, she has to do all the reporting. She has to collect all the data from the mobile enforcement teams, from special operations, from the patrol division. She has to put those reports together. It's a full-time job. The idea that we can send her to a school and now she'll have some spare time to write an additional grant, we're stretching it. But right now, Lieutenant Crown and Captain Feaser have to assist Lori. I mean, she does a fantastic job. I'm just saying, her cup runneth over. I mean, she is writing grants every day. And we don't always get every grant, but the ones that we get are how we fund almost all of the county police training, almost all of our equipment, and a large portion of our overtime is all money that Lori Kane gets us. It's not a question if she's not doing her job. She's doing it extremely well. Can she do more? Doing more with less seems to be the theme anymore over at the county police, and we're doing that. But I don't know that Lori can stop, run down to Washington, gather all the 20, 30 years of experiences that the NHTSA have acquired and start writing those types of grants. Like I said, she just successfully negotiated a smart policing grant for us, which netted a smart police officer. So she's always out there, and we're always educating her, giving her whatever schools we can, and she's always trying new grants. The money isn't quite as available as it once was. Yeah. Then the grant requirements and the specifications that Washington, D.C. are looking for are becoming more and more stringent for less and less dollars.
One more question. Jim?
Yes, sir.
You mentioned different parts of the county that don't look for grants. Now, are there people that you have in training or you're going to put in training to do this? And are they being assisted by the people that are doing the outside grant writing?
Jim Thomas, Executive Office. What we're doing is we're having them reach out and look at the portfolio that's available for Washington, bringing it back, and we're looking to see what we can apply to reduce our operational costs or some of our capital costs. It's broad-based. It's not like we're looking for a particular grant to fund bicycle paths. We're not really that focused. We're saying, here's all of our operational needs. We're polling all of our departments and saying, what would be an opportunity that you would see for something you'd like to do to reduce your operating dollars or your capital?
Yeah, but I mean, are the people that are going to do this, Are they in tune with the outside contractor that we're looking at to do the grant writing?
We're actually, department heads are actually dealing directly with the outside contractor. That's going to be what we hope to happen. Is that this grant's approved, we'll bring them in, say, I've compiled a list of items from people throughout the county, and I hear Councilman Street probably would have been good to poll some of our council people as well, and that would probably be another step, so that we can see what the needs that you have, so that we can get the biggest bang for our buck.
Thank you.
Okay, we have three council members who want to weigh in further with this. Councilmember Kilpatrick, Councilman Smiley, and Councilman Street.
I think I'm good. I just wanted to talk about specialties versus everything on public safety, so I think you answered that.
Okay, thanks. Councilman Smiley?
Yeah. I'm not assuming by any stretch of the imagination what my fellow council members are familiar with or not, but I think having gone through the Route 9 study grant process here, I have a fairly reasonable working knowledge, fairly reasonable. With that in mind, would it be possible, at least for me, if any council member wants to opt out, feel free, to actually have a copy of what Lori has to submit to get a grant? I think it would be an eye-opener, I know for me, because we look at what council requires to receive a grant, and I know it's nowhere near. I probably at this whole table, Councilman Street is probably more familiar than anyone else what's required, but I think I know, but if I could get a look, I think that may help me understand a little more what goes into it, and she can pick the one, if that's okay.
Chief Elmer, there's absolutely no reason why. I mean, that's an open book type of approach to it. I mean, yeah, look at any. I mean, some of it's. I mean, it's an excessive amount of information. You may very well be reading for a while, but that's what the federal government requires.
And maybe she says, maybe we get one copy and we put it out to the clerk, council, whatever. It's there if any council member wants to look at it. And like, I would like to familiar myself a little more with. Like I said, because it went beyond, I was involved with enough overnight, and I know it went beyond once she got the data, what she had to do, that finally, I didn't say.
We try to give them everything they ask for, and then Councilman, what we do is just load on even more. So that if there's someone else competing for that money, we try to
out-distance them.
We got beat out recently for a grant. One department added our theft as part of their smart policing initiative with police in Vermont, and maybe the South of that grant, so they added one more thing. Really strong and all one thing.
I'll
get it for you.
I appreciate it.
We're going to go to Councilman Street, and then the Deputy CAO want to make it.
I started this, and I'm so sorry I opened this up.
Keep your shoes on.
Good discussion.
So now, I just want to try to help them out a little bit. I wasn't being critical. Federal grants are complicated in that not only you have to get them, now you have to comply. Mm-hmm. The compliance requires monthly reports sometimes requires quarterly reports, annual reports, end of the day. All that federal money has to go into a single audit. Single audit, then we get audited and all the federal grants going. So somebody's got to be constant contact. Compliance has to be, you gotta comply. If you don't comply, they like that reduces the likelihood of you getting the grant next year. Part of the success has to do with relationships and your ongoing ability to comply with rules, regulations, and procedures. So I got a little perturbed about not having information in my council district, and I should have never opened this up, and the rest of the discussion I will have with y'all. Right. I'm sorry.
Yes, Deputy CAO.
Well, I was just going to make a comment. As Mr. Streets brings up a good point, it probably wouldn't be bad for us to have an active list. I don't know what the time frame would be. I don't know whether it's quarterly, monthly, bi-yearly, of what we intend to go for and how it impacts different council districts or it does. So I don't think that's an unreasonable request, and I apologize if we didn't get there.
Yes, my closing comment is it's great that we're going out there and pursuing more grants, and if we can do it in a very cost-effective basis with a vendor like this, it's a good thing. And I know that around this table over the years there's always been discussions about be more aggressive in getting grant funds to help our fund our county operations, be it capital or actual operating expenses. So, moving along, any other comments, questions on Resolution 14-070? Moving on to ordinances, 14-021, amend the grants budget, appropriate $350,000 and anticipated program income through the Neighborhood Stabilization Program grant, and realign $335,515.99 of program income in the Neighborhood Stabilization Program grant to provide funding for the purchase and rehabilitation of eligible homes and residential properties in Newcastle County. Who would like to handle this? Councilmember Diller.
I don't think I have to say anything more unless Carrie has more to add. It's pretty clear. If you look on the third page, it breaks it down as to where the money. Is this NSP, the NSP income, is this in certain census tracts?
Carrie Casey with Division of Development and Housing. We have three, we've received three awards of NSP funds. Mm-hmm. This is specifically NSP 1 funding, which is actually zip code, which gives us sort of a foundation that we can work in mostly NSP 2 and NSP 3 eligible areas as well. So, but this, the first award that we received and the money that we received back is zip code 19720, 19701, 19702. 19709, 19805, and 19802 outside of the city
of
Wilmington.
Okay, thank you.
And I guess just for clarification for the record, this NSP dollars originates with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, and the Neighborhood Stabilization Program has provided funding to purchase and rehabilitate homes and residential properties that are abandoned or foreclosed upon in order to sell, rehabilitate, or redevelop such homes and properties. And I know we've had a lot of success with this program, and the department has managed very well with it and done a lot of great work in these communities that need this kind of work. And we're glad we're going to have continuing program income and making these investments to help stabilize communities that need that kind of investment. Any other questions, concerns from members of council, any from the public? Okay, moving on to under other travel requests, Councilman Hollins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The City of Wilmington was selected as one of eight jurisdictions from across the country to attend the Community Progressive Leadership Institute that's been held at Harvard Law in Boston. The city has selected, and they invited me to join them to attend this course. Other cities, with the exception of Wilmington, would be Springfield, Massachusetts, Battle Creek, Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, Jackson, Mississippi, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Huntington, West Virginia, and Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So those eight jurisdictions were selected to attend this institute. I would be one of the seven members representing the delegation that's going from here. And the institute, their faculty will focus on lead in-depth sessions on prevention, control, and adaptive reuse of vacant buildings and land, and tailored trainings on adaptive leadership. Specific topics related to blighted properties will include market analysis, reuse planning, delinquent tax enforcement reform, code enforcement, and land banking. The request that I'm asking for is for per diem. The travel is paid for, as well as the hotel. It's a four-day training program, which will start on Tuesday of next week. Hopefully, if this passes, I will be going on a train to Boston, leaving at 6:30 next Tuesday morning, and coming back next Friday evening. And I'm grateful that the city invited me to come along and represent the Council County in this opportunity.
I really think it's admirable that, you know, we've got a cooperation with the city and the county, with your representation from the county side, and attending this, which looks to me to be quite a prestigious and important leadership institute meeting, and glad you attended. Councilman.
No, I appreciate Councilman Hollins' involvement. I just want to, given the focus on issues here in the last few months, I just want it on the record, let it be noted that Councilman Hollins will not be traveling with a county credit card. Or be it for me to start anything. Want to cover my buddy on that. With that, I'd make a motion to approve.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion is approved for the travel request for Councilman Hollins. We're going to move on under the agenda. Back up. Suggestions for county billing procedures, Council Member Diller.
Yes, I received an email from some of my constituents, and I had actually, this was related to the sewer bill, and I had actually passed it along to Councilman Sheldon and Councilman Powers because they're head of special services. But Councilman Sheldon suggested that we might want to talk about it in finance, just because there were some suggestions here about billing, and his point was it might not just be for sewer, but also for taxes in terms of the possibility of breaking the bill into two parts. So I'm going to pass out the bulk of the email just to give you an idea. We just thought we would start the conversation, and I'd like to pass one of these along to Ed Milowicki, who probably knows more than most of us about billing procedures. And
what is the substance of the suggestion?
Well, the suggestion is really, is it possible for both sewer bills and tax bills if they could be broken into two installments? And just like with your car insurance, you would pay an extra fee if you chose to do it in two installments as opposed to one. But they just raised the issue as to whether this would be a possibility. And the first part of the email is actually taken care of. The sewer bills were running a little late because of the adjustments. And so, but their concern was, if you get a bill, is it possible to maybe break it into two installments? And when I was talking to Councilman Sheldon, he said, you know, is that a possibility in terms of our tax, you know, payments as well? So I'm just bringing this to people to get people's reaction and see where they might want to go with it.
Well, my first take is that a lot of the people pay their property taxes as an escrow on their mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
It's probably not much of an issue for those people since that's already built into the mortgage.
And, right.
For those people that don't carry a mortgage, you know, that would put down on there what percentage of our constituents have that. And then the sewer billing, we'd like to hear what maybe finance might think about this if they want to take this under study a little bit. I don't know if it creates more administrative overhead issues.
I know it's a fine time. There's really, I'd like to get a couple of getting a lot of these questions going here.
Sure.
Just offhand a couple of things. The property tax is another we collect from the school.
I figured that one.
So that's and probably the state too.
It's true, right.
And then the overall thing comes about like the tax flow for the county. But I look at the school flow, they're not easy to change.
Okay, Deputy CAO is raising hand and the county auditor as well.
So. Just as an average person now speaking.
Yeah.
It might be something that we could advise people that they can prepay throughout the year if they'd like and break it up into four payments, three payments, two payments. Of course, it would be an estimate for them. But they could, right after they pay this one, they could start July or September and put it in bite-sized pieces and get where they need to be without us having to change the bill.
Oh, okay.
Suggested. Okay. Councilman Smiley,
then. Hey, I just want to jump on that real quick. I would suggest that anyone that advised a constituent to do that also advise them at least 30 days after they send that payment, go online, check their account, make sure they're showing an overage to make sure it showed up And also, please make sure they write the correct amount on the line.
Bob Wasserbeck, County Auditor.
Councilwoman Dilworth, I just wanted to, and you may have made the constituent aware of this already, but the bills went out later this year.
Yeah.
And they're due actually, I think, April 7th or something like that, so.
Yeah, they realize that now, yeah. But, and thank you.
Okay.
But they do understand that at this point.
Councilman Street.
I have no position. But the concern about cash flow that we're counting, which is what we've already expressed, I think would be a major cash flow problem for school district. On the other hand, so folks know, as you consider all options, the city bill is quarterly for water too. So, at the end of the day, we go to council, we go to council.
I'd like to recommend that Councilman Weiner is doing this at the table. Councilman Sheldon.
And I agree with, I hear you, I guess, is what I'm saying. The only thing is we've come back, there's two reasons why this brought up for me, because we've been coming back, giving interest money back. This person hasn't wrote the check. I just thought if, like your car insurance, you, if the people were able to cut the thing, send in whatever it is, plus the $4, $6, whatever the cost would be, it would cut down on, number one, us coming back, giving money back, because if you didn't, weren't able to pay the whole time in the first time, then we could at least give it to you and say, look, by the way, you did not do it in a timely installment area. You owe blanket as much, and then you could pay it all with the $4 or $6 charge. And the sewers, we're all having hardships. That's the problem. And you see it out there, and just like now, I've gotten two emails that apparently are new. They don't accept electronic payments. And, you know, our world believes in that. And a lot of people don't have checks. I know everything's on my MasterCard now, phone bill, even my DPNL bill and everything. So I just think as far as electronically we can look at, and if we can't do it, it's just a suggestion. No harm, no foul in this. But I would like to ask about the electronic, why that was stopped. And I realize we did change vendors. I do not know why, but I never got a sewer in 9.5 years, a sewer bill problem, ever. In the 9th district, I just never got a problem. Now I'm getting it for the first time.
Well, Ed Miller's compliance office, and Isaac Gibbs, we're not aware of any issue with electronic payments. There's no reason why it's been stopped. I mean, they didn't look at what they're doing electronic payments. They can do that. As Jim mentioned, they can do a monthly payment electronic that you have sent ahead of time if they want to do that during the year.
But I'm going to forward you these couple.
I got a lot of hands.
You understand.
Bob, did we get comments from you?
Yes.
Okay. Deputy CAO.
Jim McDonald. Just to Councilman Sheldon's comment, if you have any bank account that you're drafting from, let alone MasterCard or Visa, you can also set up an electronic debit from there if you want. I know MSP does it, TD Bank does it, so you can actually do monthly, quarterly, daily, whatever frequency of the debit that you set up, and they'll electronically transfer the funds to it.
Okay, and then I just want to read you exactly what it says, and I called the bank and told the vendor, and this is his English and everything, I was told the vendor will not accept electronic payments. I called, and the owners also said the same thing. Not only was not able to get the correct answer from the county, the county's moving, okay, they, you know, pound on the county. But that's, like I said, I'll forward this to you.
I'll look into it.
All right, thanks. That's it.
No, I was just going to add, and maybe Ed would jump in. I think, yeah, that's the problem. You can't call the vendor to make the electronic payment. You have to go over to the county and make the electronic payment.
I pay mine electronic debit transfer from M&T Bank to the county.
That's what I do.
I hope it's getting there. There's no signs in my yard, so apparently it's getting there.
Direct to the county, not to the vendor.
Yeah, not to the vendor.
Might just be that person's having a problem, they don't understand the situation.
It could be, but there's two of them, and that just causes my error, you know, one, yeah, but two.
We'll get it worked out.
All right.
You ought to get their number and try to pay it online yourself.
Councilmember Dillard, did you want to make a recommendation and draft some kind of...
Well, I think that I'd like to get some feedback from Mr. Hardman about...
Okay. Can we put that on the agenda?
Yeah. Okay. That would be good.
Okay. And again, just to state, you know, if you're carrying a mortgage, you have an escrow, it's paying your school and county property taxes, you know, that's an automatic situation, which I would say is probably the bulk of the citizens out there. Any other questions on the billing procedure revisions or suggestions? Moving along, yes, Councilman Redick.
Now, I understand what this person's trying to say here, but at the same time, Councilman Sheldon brought up about we give rebates back. I think most of the rebates that we gave back were mostly in the states. They weren't, they were mostly mistakes, like somebody wrote a check one way or something like that. They weren't that they didn't pay on time or anything. They paid on time. It was just a mistake on the check that was written. That was most of what I can remember that we give back.
But it's still a process that we have to go through, that we have headaches here, we've had fights here. I mean, $50, we spoke, a half an hour one time?
Right,
one?
But, you know, the process isn't an accounting of the mistake. The mistake is by the person who's made the payment.
Right.
The other is, from what I understand, I had a few last year on taxes, and Denny Hardman worked with the people on their payments. And it wasn't like they paid, had to pay now, or they paid on like an installment. So he worked with them on it, and they got it worked out. So, I mean, some of the processes that we're doing now are already there. It's just that, you know, you got to talk to the finance department.
Let's go back to phone number. Councilmember Dillon, from the closed office.
I'm not going there.
Okay. All right, we're going to move along on the agenda. Any question, concern from members of the public? All right, moving along to New Castle County grant requests. All right, let me go to my page here. Councilman Sheldon, Midway Little League.
Yes, they've come to us before, or come to me before, and they're asking for $2,500, and what it is everything is going to the cost of the lighting. The original lighting was $52,000. They've raised $12,000 so far. They're asking for $2,500, so I'd like to make a motion for the $2,500.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting.
Okay, the grant for the Midway Little League is approved. Again, helping youth sports and nighttime play, good activity. Good one for that. Your nonprofit Little League there. All right, moving along, Delaware Academy of Science, Iron Hill Museum. Councilmember Diller.
Yes, this is a request for funding for the annual archaeology festival. They've requested 1,000. I'm willing to go to 750. It's a really nice local event, and I would make a motion for 750 for the Iron Hill Museum Archaeology Festival.
From second.
Second.
Discussion.
Oh, yeah, the other. To get them, it is a nice thing there.
Sure.
So you're going to
museum there, and they do a complete little service to the audience and Councilman Dillard to make up the difference.
Thank you.
Councilman Tex can add the additional amount to make it. 1,000 is the grant that we are making a motion on. Maybe you want to revise the motion?
Yes, I'd like to revise my motion that we provide $1,000 for the Archaeology Festival, $750 from Councilwoman Diller, and $250 from Councilman Packett.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
Not voting.
Okay, $1,000 approved between Councilmember Diller and Councilman Packett. I know that's a favorite community project in the greater Newark area.
The greater Newark area.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, moving along. Once again, Councilman Sheldon, Western Family YMCA.
Yes, they've asked for $2,500, which we were able to give before. This is a new program, actually. It's within the Strong Kids. It's for scholarships for a newly implemented literacy program for the kids that are going to summer camp. So this is what it's for. It's school enrichment. And again, it's for scholarships for children and families that aren't able to give the school support to help subsidize. But I will say I'm on the Emeritus Board of Directors for the YMCA, so I would like somebody else to be able to make a motion in a second, please.
I'll make a motion for $2,500 to the Western Family YMCA for their Stride Academy.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Not voting.
Not voting also.
Okay. The grant is approved for the Western Family YMCA for $2,500 to their Stride Academy. Okay. Moving along to the next item on the agenda. Expense and Revenue Roundtable. Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Thank you. Hopefully this is a good thing and not a bad thing, but over the last weeks we've talked about live streaming audio and or video from council meetings. We've done a lot of this on guessing what it's going to cost us. We've had a lot of trying to get our support through bullying and defamation of character rather than facts. And I know that there are people on this council that do not have a problem with the concept of live streaming. And I do believe that that's the next step that we should go to rather than be delayed. So what I would like to make a motion for is to for an RFP to hire a consultant. I'm thinking up to $10,000, but I don't know if that's realistic or not, so that we can get costs on feasibility of installation and the ongoing costs that we be associated with that.
Okay, so we want to try to find a consultant to help us live stream the council meeting.
Well, I am not necessarily to do it,
right,
but to tell us what needs to be done to do it. And we have a lot of, I think we need facts. I don't know how any of us can sit here and think that we're going to vote on this if we don't know what the upfront costs are and what the ongoing costs are and what the feasibility is of actually doing.
Certainly, those are all excellent points, and they're not really answered at this point. Okay.
Oh, I thought
second.
We had a second.
Second.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
Well,
discussion.
Discussion would be, we have a motion, but we had a reference dollar amount. I think
that was the
other. You're right. Are we using $10,000 as a maximum at this point? And if the RFP doesn't yield anything below that, then we can come back and discuss what the cost we get from the RFP is.
That would, I'm kind of pulling this out of the air.
No, I understand.
You know, because I have no idea what a consultant on this would
start.
Be. But I'm tired of the way this has been going.
Well,
and, you know, we're not in a good place on this right now. And if we're going to talk about it, we need to
get
there.
If we get purchasing to do it, the RFP is free.
Correct.
We'll see what the RFP comes back at.
Right.
If it's under 10, if it's under 10 or under, it's approved. If it's more, then we need
correct
to come back and revisit.
Correct.
But I just wanted to clarify that on our record.
Yeah.
So the motion, Councilwoman, is to allow, say they come back with under $10,000, then your motion is to go ahead with
it.
In accordance with the process.
We need to go through the bid process to get somebody, and I'm putting a cap on it at $10,000.
The only thing is after last night, I'm going to tell you, no disrespect, I can't vote for it because I'm not even going to poll too much after this. I call it holy hell. we're even thinking about that. I had to tell them it wasn't not my idea when I asked how to vote, because I'm asking my district, I'm really trying to do a poll, and wow, I've got two civic associations, and one of them just filed for bankruptcy. So, and then I got to, you know, ask them, so I guess you wouldn't want to spend 25 to 50 grand. I mean, it's the I just can't at this time. Any other time I would have said yes to find this out, but not only if I say no against the television live screening, which they don't want me to do, I'm actually still spending 10 grand on something to look into it. So hope you excuse me, but after last night, I even have state officials telling me drop it. And they're open government people. I don't know what else to say. I'm done. I didn't say no names.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, I too am pretty much done with this. You know, this has just been an absurd, you know, venue that we've been down here, and it's something that we need to get our arms around, and we need to handle, and we need to address. I mean, I remind council, I passed the resolution that we voted for, you know, about audio and live streaming already. This isn't anything new here. The only thing I'm a little confused on is your RFP for a consultant?
Well, I just think, I mean, somehow we have to get an estimate.
Yeah, but wouldn't we just do an RFP and ask for people to give us estimates for
the
live stream?
We can do that. I just, you know what, after a lecture that went on at the Lifelong Learning Academy yesterday that one of our constituents gave,
will you attend?
I had people coming to me saying, oh, well, I understand that you're trying to block this process. And I have to go back and explain to them, I'm not trying to block a process, but I am not about to vote on something unless I have some solid numbers on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think it's fair to anybody to even talk about this unless we know, first of all, that it's feasible, and second of all, that it's within a reasonable amount. We can talk about the city of Wilmington all they want. They have a license. It's for the city, and it's for Comcast. Three quarters of our constituents probably are not on Comcast, so they wouldn't be able to get it. So if we're going to do it, we have to know that it's going to be available to the majority of the people in unincorporated Newcastle County. And I'm tired of being bullied, and that's all this has been for weeks and weeks and weeks, is we get emails every single day, several a day, and we're having our character assassinated, and we are being bullied in to try to go with that position. And I just think we need to bring an end to it. I don't care if we do this or if we don't, but somehow this has got to be over.
Councilman Hollins and Councilman Smiley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would join other two councilmembers who spoke earlier. I cannot support spending any money on this initiative just because we are being bullied, mischaracterized, and everything else. I think it's a poor way to lead any initiative, and I just don't support it at all. I think it's more about politics than it is transparency. If that was the case, I would be voting for it. But this is all about politics and a political campaign, and I'm not going to support it as a study. I'm not going to support it if it comes forward, it's paid for, whatever the case may be. I'm just done with it.
Councilman Smiley.
I just want to say for the record, I don't feel bullied or harassed. You can speak with my aide about using email block, that takes care of it.
I have tended to be open to the idea of, you know, video transmission of council meetings. I know that we've been without any facts about how we would accomplish this, and I, you know, that's necessary to have a process so we can have a resolution or an ordinance that we take a vote on, and we get the sense of this body going forward on that issue. We do not have that at this point. And I don't know, what I'm hearing is several members don't really want to even pursue it anymore. Councilmember Kilpatrick.
Well, if Councilman Tackett, you know, had his resolution and we passed it whenever that was, like 3 years ago,
mm-hmm.
I mean, can we just pick up on that resolution and on that say, all right, what do? We ask somebody to come in and just look at it, and with free estimates, I'm good with free estimates. I just think we need to, I'm not going to vote for anything unless I'm not voting for it within a campaign season, but I'm not voting for anything on which we don't have solid numbers. So however you want to accomplish that, or drop the whole thing, is fine with me, but I'm done.
I'd like to recognize Councilmember Councilman Wyman.
Excuse me, point of order. I understand there's a discussion on the floor about a matter that I'd taken under consideration.
I'll recognize you in 1 minute.
Yeah, I'd just like to hear what was on the floor.
On the floor is a motion that we're discussing about how we should go about getting solid numbers on feasibility, installation, and ongoing if we would choose to go for audio or video live streaming.
Mm-hmm.
So my initial thought was to have an RFP put out and hire a consultant that could tell us all of those things up to a certain dollar amount. Some of the people don't think that we should spend money, so then I only put in the dollar amount because I didn't know that we would have another way of looking at this if it's a matter of just bringing somebody in to bid on a job. And that, I suppose, would be it's a free estimate. That's fine with me also. I can just bring people in to bid on a job without any commitment, and under that we would also then know is whether there was the feasibility and what the cost would be. But in my mind, there is no way that I'm thinking that I'm going to go forward with voting on anything under the circumstances that we've been put under in the last couple of weeks.
So, one more thought. So, just to distill your thoughts, if I could, you would maybe revise your motion.
Absolutely.
Just to ask for an RFP, request for proposals from vendors who could provide live streaming of our council meetings on a video format. Is that sort of that?
Yes. Yes, and that would be without any monetary position.
Okay. Councilman
Wyman. I'm pleased to hear Councilwoman Kilpatrick's position. It's a little bit different than the position that she took before when I proposed this initially in various iterations, at which time she said, well, I wouldn't mind it being videotaping, but I'm shocked that it would be on the internet and available for the whole world to see.
I think
it did. But I have the floor, so let me continue. This is, of course, an idea that I've been championing now, not only for months, but for years. And I've done a lot of homework on this, and I'm glad that you're not proceeding forward to ask for a study, because there's no reason to do a study. All we need to do is do an RFP. As I've been asking now, as a matter of record, for months. I've been listening to the council, and unlike just proceeding now, I have various iterations of the way that we can proceed. And rather than simply doing it here at a motion, I'm introducing resolutions where all the iterations can be advertised to the public, and the iterations include both live, streaming, delayed, on NCCTV, and not on NCCTV. And that's a much more reasoned, rational position given the legitimate objections, one of which was raised by Council President Pro Tem, saying, this is not a decision. This is all sort of new ground for us. We shouldn't be just jumping in. We should be proceeding cautiously. And for that reason, I don't think it makes sense to simply proceed with a motion here on the floor. And we'll have these advertised. I already have this already... Excuse me, I have the floor. Yeah. I already have a motion, two motions to this effect tabled. I have four other motions that will be advertised to the public, so the public has a chance to participate them. And so your iteration, as well as the others that council have recommended, will be advertised and considered by the public rather than making a decision where... How many public members do we have here who know about it? I don't see any. This is an important decision. This is new ground. And I'm pleased to proceed with this, but I don't think we should be spending money And I think we should give the public and all of council all the various iterations to proceed. For now, I have more to say. I'm thinking about what the comments are.
Did you want to ask for a second on the revised motion? Why don't you restate the revised motion?
That we put out an RFP to ask for a quote on the feasibility of the installation, and what our total cost would be.
Second.
Comment.
Yeah.
I would like to thank Councilwoman Kilpatrick for doing a 180-degree reverse on her opposition. Please, I have the floor, and I'll be happy to present the arguments that have been made, not only by Councilwoman Kilpatrick, but by others as well, which I have addressed. One of which, she said, I was in favor of you videotaping, but not putting it on the internet where others could see.
Are the rules of civility in the absence of personal attacks only going to be imposed on me?
No, sir.
I withdraw my comment. Let me proceed without that. Thank you. I want to thank and applaud Councilwoman Kilpatrick for championing now a position that I have championed by others. Of course, I have noticed that positions that I take sometimes are not effective until someone else comes up with a motion, and I understand how that plays. But I'll support that, but I'll also be introducing other iterations because it is very indefinite how that's supposed to be. Is it, are you going to specify that it should be in real time as well as delayed? Is it going to be
previous
an NCCTV?
Previous question.
Council member, it's got to go through.
Yeah. Question. I have a question.
Previous question.
Yeah, and I asked for the previous question too because I'd asked for clarification.
Previous question.
Call for a vote.
Look up Robert's rules.
We're going to call for a vote on the motion that she has made, which is on the table now. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, the motion carries to council to solicit have an RFP or vendor quotes on doing live video streaming of council sessions. Is that?
Yes.
Okay. Councilman Weiner.
Thank you. Tonight, to further obey the test for council members, there'll be a video which, as you know, I've prepared to have of council from the press box. It'll be a first-time event.
Okay. Any other comments, questions on the revenue, expense of revenue roundtable issue? We just passed a request for proposal for a vendor to get costs and details on video presentation of council session. We're going to move on to other. Anybody want to bring something forward on the other? Public comment? No public comment? Request for adjournment?
Motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
This Administrative Finance Committee meeting is closed.